are back for another episode of The Main Event. Ryan Jarrell and Brian Stackpole here, as always. Today is episode 54, and we have our big UFC 211 prediction roundtable with Mr. Aaron Lacy of Young's MMA here in studio. Also on the phone, we have one of the guys that is competing on that very card, UFC 211. Jason Knight will be on the phone as he prepares to take on Chaz Skelly at UFC 211 in Dallas, Texas on the 13th here. Also, a big interview. Been really excited to have him back on the show. We have Derek Anderson of Bellator. He is a veteran of that promotion, and he's looking to hand Michael Venom Page his first loss of his career in the next Bellator card coming up on the 19th. So another big show, Brian.
Yeah, someone's going to hand Michael Venom Page his first loss. Unfortunately, it wasn't Ryan Sanders back at that Bellator fight in Lewiston, which was not a banner mark for these career, but yeah, maybe Derek Anderson is the guy to do it, and it's across the pond in one of my absolute favorite places. I've been to London, England a couple of times. It's my favorite city in the world. I just absolutely really? Love it. The food is not great unless you like fish and French fries, which they call chips over there.
Chips.
but other than that, I really loved it. It rains every day, almost every day over there for just like 10 minutes, and then it's done. Then it's really? Bright and sunny again. And they don't have much snow either because they're an island. It's just a real fun atmosphere. Like the people there, the accent's great. So that's my endorsement for the city of London, and hopefully Derek has a good time over there and picks out a W, because last time, and we'll ask him about this for sure too, last time Venom Page went out there, he made some big news and made a big indent in Santos's face as well. And then, is that the Pokeball thing too? I think he put the hat on and tried to catch him. It was, it might not have been the most greatest example of sportsmanship, but still, he had quite an outing last time out in London. So we'll see if maybe we can see a different outcome this next time. But that's sure to be a battle.
Yeah, it's going to be one heck of a fight. Derek Anderson, he's a veteran, like I said, and he's coming off a tough loss to his last opponent, Derek Campos. And so he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's got something to prove. And I know for a fact that I heard him in the presser that he feels he's got the skill set to beat Venom Page. So and we'll see if he does. It's going to be one heck of a fight.
And then we have the UFC coming up, too, with a big card this weekend. And this might be the most anticipated one I've had since the December one.
Oh, for sure. This is a huge card.
And two, they've had some big-time fights fall through, much like any MMA promotion. It's the nature of the game. You can't be 100%, and even if you're not 100%, there's no need for you to go out there and fight and risk your livelihood and risk your chance of making money in the future. But as long as this card stays the way it is or doesn't get completely overhauled, this may be the biggest one since then, and it might be the biggest one of this year. I know there's some other ones like 213 at International Fight Week in July is supposed to be very, very good, and one I'm looking forward to too. But this one could be the best one of the year, and we're talking about the month of May. So
yeah, I mean, look, this card top to bottom. I mean, the main event is for the heavyweight championship. Obviously, Stipe Miocic, the current champ, is taking on the former champ in Junior Dos Santos. I mean, two heavy hitters who can put anyone's lights out. This is going to be a marquee matchup in a rematch of what was one of the best fights I've ever seen, to be quite honest here. And obviously, both of our guys, Frankie Edgar, we both love Frankie Edgar. He's on this card against the upstart Yair Rodriguez. Talk about, I got tongue-tied. Yair Rodriguez. And then obviously Joanna Jędrzejczyk is defending her belt in the co-main event. I mean, this card is just loaded. There's so many talented fighters on this card. I cannot wait.
Look at all the friends of the show. Joanna's getting back in there. We talked to her around December time. So good to see her. We both love Frankie. I've had the pleasure to interview Stipe, Frankie, Henry Cejudo, and Eddie Alvarez before in my life. So I'm pulling for them in some regard, but in other regards, I wouldn't be surprised to see some of those people go down. But it's going to be a fun card from top to bottom. It's just going to be great. And we're going to go watch that later on?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Okay,
I'm not going to miss that at all.
Okay, good. Actually, are you on like an alcohol cleanse this month?
I'm trying to, It's not easy. What I'm trying to do is go for the month of May with little to no beer, because I don't drink liquor. I don't drink.
You don't drink liquor?
No. It's never really been my thing. I like the taste of beer. That's what I like. And then my thing that I like for food that's an issue is I have a problem. I've had a little bit of an obsession with pizza.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah. So I'm trying to go little to no beer or pizza throughout the month of May, And if I do that, you know, look, I'm just trying to get my summer body back. I want to be able to take
it's
off
my
shirt.
It's already there, man. And, well, it is there. Just start toning it up a little bit. You're gold, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you get older, you naturally get a little bit denser, a little heavier, I guess. And right now, I'm a little bit too heavy for my liking. So I'm just trying to shape myself. Maybe I'll ask Aaron Lacey when he gets in studio what he's got to say. He can give me some tips.
Yeah. And maybe we'll throw some adult beverages back. If not, I'll understand. But, yeah, you got to stop that at least by June and July.
Right? Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Once July comes rolls around, I mean, it's 4th of July. You got to enjoy yourself a little bit.
Yeah, well, my birthday is at the end of June, too. So
true. Okay, yeah. You're not going to be sober for that one. Let's be serious.
Well, it's my 21st. So, I mean, I you only turn 21 once, right?
Or in your case,
hey, you shut your
multiple
mouth.
Multiple times. Well, we got a great show, too, and we are going to conclude it later on with Aaron Lacey, the aforementioned relentless one coming up later on, as he'll give us his predictions, and we'll make ours as well, and you can make fun of us after the fact on Sunday morning and say, you guys are absolute idiots, but we still got some great show to let to go, including a big-time guest next.
Yeah, we'll be right back with Derek Anderson. The Main Event is proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. Go to the Sea Dog on the Penobscot River at 26 Front Street, or you can give them a call at 947-8009 to place reservations. Also, if you want to check them out online, you can reach them at seadogbrewing.com and at Facebook at Sea Dog Bangor. A couple of great things to tell everyone about. The back deck is finally opening. Summer is here. May 13th, which is a Saturday, the back deck is opening at the Sea Dogs. You'll be able to go down and enjoy drinks and food while you're looking at the beautiful river right down there on the Penobscot River. It's a great time as always, and that's when it starts to get busy. So make sure you go down and check out the back deck opening as summer approaches. Also, the very next day, Sunday, May 14th, the Sea Dog is proud to be announcing that they have a Mother's Day brunch buffet from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You're not going to believe all the stuff that they have for buffet. I'm just going to read down right through the list. You can just let this all soak in. We're going to have mashed potato, candied dill carrots, bacon, sausage, French toast, corned beef hash, home fries, scrambled eggs, omelet station, tossed salad, pasta salad, fruit display, bagels, danishes, chowder soup. There's going to be snow crab with cocktail sauce. Oh, and my favorite, prime rib with rosemary au jus. There's going to be baked haddock with lobster sauce, mussels with the chorizo sauce, sausage and tomato, roasted turkey, and many, many more items. There's just so much to talk about at the Sea Dog. Make sure you go down and visit them at 26 Front Street or give them a call at 947-8009. Again, the Main Event is proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog. Make sure you go down to the Sea Dog soon and get yourself a Blue Paw. Back on the show is a 14-3 Bellator veteran who competes next at Bellator 179 in London, England, Friday, May 19th, when he takes on Michael Venom Page in the co-main event. Derek the Barbaric Anderson is back on the show. Thank you as always, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing really good. It's obviously great to have you back on. I believe the last time we had you on was right before your scrap with Derek Campos, and the result obviously didn't turn out the way that you had wanted it to, but what would you have done differently now looking back at that fight? I'm sure that you would like to get another shot at him at some point down the line and really put a statement and beat him.
Yeah, I just, you know, in the camp, I supplemented a lot of conditioning for running, and I should have been running more. You know, and then the weight cut was a lot, so it kind of took a lot out of me. I knew I only had one good round in me, and I was going to tire out, but, you know, I figured, what am I going to say? I'm not ready.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it was a good fight. You know, all credit to Campos, you know what I mean? He's a tough guy, but I can beat him.
Now, what were your thoughts immediately after that fight? Did you feel a certain way knowing that you didn't maybe have your best camp going in there? I mean, obviously, the 155-pound division in Bellator is loaded. Did you worry that maybe this might set you back a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little upsetting. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is, you know what I mean? Like, I'm lucky to be where I'm at. And, you know, I'm going to have to just, I think Michael Venom Page is the best fight for me anyway. It's like, you know, that's my title fight, you know, so I don't need anything else. You know what I mean? I think in both weight classes, that's the best fight for me.
Yeah, that's clearly a huge fight for anyone right now. He's got a lot of momentum behind him. What are your thoughts on his last fight with Fernando Gonzalez? Did you feel like Venom won that fight, or did you think Fernando got the job done?
No, neither of them did anything, man. I thought they should, you know, I mean, if it was even entertaining to watch, then they should have kept fighting or something like that. But, you know, it wasn't, so they could have just gone home and, you know, called it a draw or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that idea, actually. The fans should be able to vote, and if it goes to the duration and the fight's not that fun, they should just keep going, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, this fight's going to be fought over in England. Have you been over across the pond before in your life?
Yeah, they sent me out there a couple months ago for the press conference. It was cool. I got to see the city a little bit, you know?
So what is your training camp going to be like? Are you going to go over there a little early to adjust from the five-hour time difference or anything, or are you just going to try to go up there and have the most normal camp as possible?
Yeah, you know, I've had a really good camp. They're gonna fly me out a week early, so, you know, I got plenty of time to acclimate, and I'm going to be sleeping the whole time out there anyway, so, you know, it's not going to be too bad.
Yeah, don't eat the food. It's not very good. I've been there twice, and it's awful. It's horrendous, so just take that advice.
Oh, really?
Now, Derek, how motivated are you feeling going into this fight? Obviously, you got a bad taste in your mouth from the last time out. I'm sure you want to go in there and put on your best performance. How angry are you, and how good of a Derek Anderson are we going to see this time out against Michael Venom Page?
You're going to see a great Derek Anderson, man. Yeah, because I'm very motivated, and, you know, I've been working hard, and, you know, I like to be, you know, my style is pretty tenacious, and I like to, you know, go forward and try to get the job done a lot, you know, and as a tall guy in the lightweight division, you know, that's not the smartest thing because, you know, I'm giving these short guys a chance to hit me back. But, you know, I'm the short guy this time, and I'm going to stay up on the inside and beat his ass.
Now, what were your initial thoughts when you were approached with this fight against MVP? How excited were you to get this opportunity?
Very excited. You know, people have, like my friends and fans, you know, said that would be a good fight for a long time. And, you know, it's just time now, so I'm ready to go.
Now, obviously, you've been a mainstay in the lightweight division. This fight's going to be at 170. Is this a weight class that we're going to see you at from here on out, or do you think you might still bounce back between 155 and 170?
I'm still deciding that. It just depends on how big I get or anything. I'm not really too much bigger than I would be for a lightweight fight, but, you know, just training at the heavier weights kind of makes it hard to get down. You know, I kind of have some unfinished business down there, lightweight, I feel like. But, you know, if it is what it is, then, you know, I'll stay at welterweight. I just like to fight taller guys. So, you know, because, like, the shorter guys, they, you know, they'll put a good rocket on you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're swinging up and it's good. So I don't want to be getting hit by the bigger, like, thicker guys that are still shorter. You know what I mean? So as long as I can fight tall guys, I don't care what weight class. You know what I mean?
Now, what do you normally walk around at? Is making 55 getting to the point now where it's getting kind of difficult for you?
Yeah, I mean, who likes to do that? You know what I mean? Like, you know, sweat out 20 pounds of water. I walk around about 180 or so.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's not that bad. I can make it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I just, you know, I mean, who wants to do that? This time I'm going to sweat out, like, you know, 7 pounds instead of 18, you know, so. It's a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, and that's got to be a huge difference. And it's got to probably make you, I would imagine, feel maybe stronger going into the fight here at 170, where maybe if you make 155, you might not have as much time to maybe replenish your body the way that you'd want to. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like, I'm not even going to be that emaciated for the weigh-in, you know. So the next day at the fight, you know, have a regular dinner, regular breakfast, and I'll be good to go.
Now, how do you feel Michael Page has been towards you in the lead up to this fight? Do you feel a little bit more animosity? I mean, he's definitely known to be a little bit more of a showboating type of a guy and to talk a little junk. How do you feel he's been towards you in the lead up here?
I haven't heard a single thing from him, you know. So, I mean, I'm sure he said stuff, you know, but I haven't listened to his interviews and stuff like that. I don't care what he's got to say. I just care, you know, how he's going to fight and. You know, it's not going to be good enough, so.
So how do you guys match up in there? What's your overall assessment of how this fight's going to shake out?
I'm going to knock him out.
First round?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
He's getting beat up. That's what's going to happen.
Do you feel that just your stand-up game is just at a different level than his? Obviously, he's known for all that crazy creative stuff where he's doing a bunch of spinning stuff, as to quote the Diaz brothers. But do you feel like overall you're just too tough of a matchup for him?
Yeah. That's exactly right. He can't fight. He dances. He showboats, and he people get scared of his confidence. But that's not going to be me, man. Because he tries to start dancing around on me, he's going to get attacked, and I'm going to stay covered. And he's going to try to counter me, whatever. I'm going to counter his counter. He's going to get up.
Well, last time out, he was in London against Evangelista Santos, and he, of course, had that infamous flying knee kick, which caved in Santos's head a little bit. Are you worried about that part of the game at all, or just him coming back to London where he might be a little bit more of a crowd favorite this time around?
No, I don't care, man. I'm expecting to get some boos and stuff like that, but, obviously a knee's always a little worry, if he's a tall guy and stuff like that, but, I know what he's got. And I got some stuff for him.
And also your time in London, you said you went with a press tour. How do you expect the fan base? I know they're very huge into boxing and fighting in general, but how do you feel like that crowd is going to be when you finally step in the cage for the first time for that event?
I kind of feel like they might be kind of supportive, actually. A lot of people don't like MVP because he's so flamboyant. Like you said, out there in London, they're big boxing fans and stuff like that. And, they're going to be there for a good fight. I'm coming out to Bob O'Reilly. That's a Who song, and
nice.
Who is from over there, so maybe they'll be liking that. It don't matter, it's all about us, too, in the cage. I don't care what the crowd is screaming,
Now, let's just say that you do get by Venom Page. You give him his first loss. What do you expect to be next for you here in Bellator?
Oh, man, a break. I think, man. I don't have any idea what's going on next. Like I said, this is my title fight. This is everything I got, so I don't care about anything else. And after this, I'll start thinking about what's going on, But I got some money to make. When I was in lightweight, it was like, oh, my next fight's a title. But now this is the fight right here, so I'm not worried about any of that.
Well, I know both Brian and myself are eagerly anticipating this matchup with Michael Venom Page, and we're both pulling for you. We'd love to see you get this victory and move on to the next step in your career.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure having you on. Let's do it again soon, bud.
Hell yeah. You guys have a good one.
You too, bud.
Of course, this is the main event. Thank you very much for listening, but be sure to keep in touch with us anywhere you go. You can do so by going to podomatic.com and typing in the main event. You can search and you can subscribe as well, because that will make sure you get the latest episode whenever we post it. It's right there. It's easy to do. And while we're on the topic of subscribing, go to iTunes right now. Type in the T-H-E, main event, spelled M-A-I-N-E, into the search bar when you're looking for podcasts. We will pop up. You can see mine and Ryan's beautiful mug there on the graphic. Subscribe there as well, and be sure to leave us a comment, because you know what? That makes us know that we're doing things good, we're doing things badly. We will change for you, because we love you here at the main event. We try to bring you the best quality mixed martial arts content in the nation, not just here in the Bangor area, not just in the state of Maine, not in New England, not in the United States, not even the world, but the galaxy too. You could call us guardians, potentially, of the galaxy of mixed martial arts. Do not sue me. But anyways, subscribe on iTunes, Podomatic, and also be sure to like our Facebook page as well. Give us a comment. We can use your feedback as well. You can search the main event in the Facebook search bar as well, and find us. Keep in touch with us anywhere you go, and be sure to get the latest content from Ryan Jarrell and myself, Brian Stackpole, here at the Main Event Show.
She was sitting all alone over on the tailgate. Joining the show now is a 17-2 featherweight who will compete next against Chaz Skelly at UFC 211 in Dallas, Texas at the American Airlines Center, Saturday the 13th of May. Jason Knight is here on the main event. Thank you for joining us.
How y'all doing today?
Doing great. We're up here in Maine right now. It's a little rainy. What's the weather like where you're at?
Oh, it's sunny as can be today. It's a nice, pretty day to be at the river or something.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at the forecast throughout the country earlier. I was wishing that we had your weather. Now, for any of our listeners that are out here who don't know your story, I was reading an article about you the other day. You began training at the age of 14, and you turned pro at 17. Your coach and mentor is one Alan Belcher. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you've got to the point where you're at now.
Man, I started fighting when I was 14. I had a buddy, I was getting street fights all the time and everything, and I had a buddy, he's an older guy, wanted to teach me how to box and throw straight punches. So he started working with me in my backyard, and we did that for about 2 or 3 months, and then it kind of progressed into MMA training. And then he went out to a club one night, a nightclub, and he found flyers for a place called the Fight Club in Mobile, Alabama. And he come home and said, "Hey, man, you ought to call these people up and see if they'll let you fight." So I called them that Monday, and I asked them, I was like, "Hey, man, I'm 14. Can I fight?" Well, the guy tells me, that I don't care if you're 12. He said, "If your mama signed for you, then I'll let you fight." And I was like, "Well, hell yeah." I went down there that Monday and signed up. I fought that Wednesday night, and ever since then, I haven't looked back. You know, I fought till I was about 16. You know, training out of my backyard. I was 15. Fought from 14 to 15, training out of my backyard, and then heard about Alan Belcher MMA Club. And around the time I was 15, almost 16, I went up there and I signed up at Alan Belcher's gym, and they slowly but surely progressed me into the fighter that I am today.
Wow. So how old were these guys when you were 14, 15 years old going and fighting? Were you fighting full-grown men and beating them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I went 6-0. And the youngest person I fought, one 15-year-old, and the rest were 19, 20, I fought one guy that was 36, and he was probably one of the easiest fights for me.
Oh, my God. As a full-grown man, I can't even imagine getting beat on by a 14-year-old. That's incredible.
Yeah, man, I was a different breed than, you know, these 14-year-old kids today. A lot of the 14-year-olds today, you know, they couldn't have hung in there like I did, man. But I grew up a tough life. You know, I had my big brother always beating on me from the time I was walking, pretty much, and it made me tough, and it's kind of made a career for me.
Do you feel like at that age, though, you were like destined to become where you are currently because you were beating up at grown adults at your relatively young age, and then you were having success? Did you feel that confidence that you would eventually get to the level that you're currently at?
Oh. You know, I didn't really know where it would take me. I was just more or less having fun. But, I mean, you know, around the time I was 17, I went pro and everything. Around that time, you know, I seen it as a big possibility. And I knew that if I worked hard enough, I could make it happen. So I just made sure that I pushed myself as hard as I could. And, you know, if it happened, good. If it didn't, then I wouldn't have any regrets, you know.
Now, when you went and you sought out Alan Belcher, when you finally went in there and you were training under him, how much did your skill set just evolve when you're under someone of such a high level of ability as someone like Mr. Belcher?
When I first got to Alan's gym, you know, I was 6-0, and you know. 6-0, training in these little backyard fights. I mean, fighting at these backyard fights, and I thought that, you know, I was just a killer because, you know, I done beat 6 people, and some of them grown men. Well, next thing you know, I go to Allen's gym, and everybody there is just beating the hell out of me, and, you know, I thought I was somebody, and then they showed me real quick, like, that I didn't know anything. Well, about 6 months to a year went by, and, you know, I couldn't beat anybody for 6 months or a year. And then slowly but surely, I started learning more and actually grasping the concept of the techniques and stuff. And then it's just like over, you know, a year's time, I became a completely different fighter, you know, a completely different person.
Wow. And then you eventually got that call to the UFC, and your first opponent was Tatsuya Kawajiri. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but right around that time when you got that phone call, you just had a child and you weren't training regularly, correct?
Yeah, man. I got the call on the day that my little boy was born.
Wow.
On November the 24th. And then they asked me if I would fight on December the 11th. And, yeah, I was preparing for my little boy to be here, so I hadn't been in the gym hardly at all, you know, maybe one or two days a week here and there. And once I got the call, you know, I knew I wasn't ready, but it's something you can't turn down. So I told him, hell yeah, I'll fight in 2 weeks. And I think I might have trained a total of, like, 9 days for that fight because, you know, we train a little bit and then – next thing you know, they want you there like 4 or 5 days early. And I think I had like 13 days altogether. And then 9 of them I got to train. The other 4, I was already at the venue or whatever.
Now,
I was at the hotel for UFC, whatever.
Now, with such short notice, is it difficult for you to make that weight of 145? Do you walk around much bigger than that?
I don't know. I've always had an easy weight, you know, easy weight cut and everything. I walk around probably 158 to 165 would be the biggest I've ever got. You know, I get to 165 if I'm sitting around for a month and eating and doing whatever I want to do. You know, but other than that, I walk around about 158, and it's usually an easy cut for me as long as I water load like I'm supposed to. Just drink plenty of water leading up to the weight cut, and it just usually falls right off of me.
Yeah, and since that debut fight, you've been on a 3-fight win streak. You've beat Jim Allers, Daniel Hooker, and an impressive submission over Alex Caceres. Now you're stepping in on a huge card, UFC 211. This card is getting a ton of attention. It's just stacked from top to bottom. You're taking on Chaz Kelly. What are your goals here in this fight? Obviously, you want to get this win and improve your streak to 4-0. How do you see this fight shaking out with him?
If I can keep the fight standing, I'm going to dominate the stand-up. And, you know, I've trained really hard at my wrestling to try and make sure that he's not going to be able to take me down. But, I mean, I believe that I'll be able to stop most of his takedowns, and I should win 97% of the fight standing on my feet. And then if we do hit the ground, you know, he's good on the ground, but I'm good on the ground too. I know that I've got the edge when we're standing up, so I try and keep it to where I have the advantage.
Is this your typical striker versus a wrestler type of a matchup?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, but, you know, I'm not going to get laid on, you know. And I know Chaz Kelly, he's not the type to lay on someone. He gets you down, he's trying to finish you. But, you know, I'm not the guy who's going to get submitted easy. And I'm not the guy who's just going to get grinded against the cage and, you know, him outwork me. You know, I'm ready for everything he's got to throw at me. And I think it's just going to be more or less, you know, him trying to take me down, me stopping the takedowns, and then stand-up-wise, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to handle what I have to throw at him.
Do you envision yourself knocking him out?
I don't know, man. He's a tough, gritty guy. You know, He's never been finished before. I mean, I know that there's that possibility, but in my head, I see myself winning a 3-round decision, hard-fought decision, and me and Chaz Kelly walking away with fight of the night.
Oh, I like it, especially with how stacked this card is. You get fight of the night, then you guys have put on one heck of a performance.
Yeah, man. I don't see any of those guys as, you know, more entertaining than I am. You know, like, I've watched their fights, I've watched mine, I've watched my fights, and I've watched Chaz Kelly's fight. And, you know, I don't see any of those guys being more entertaining than what we're going to bring to the table. I believe that, you know, he's going to come in there wide ass open, gritting his teeth, trying to win the fight, and I'm going to do the same thing.
Now, what are your goals to accomplish throughout the remainder of 2017? Let's say you do get this victory and you improve your winning streak to 4 in a row. How many more times would you like to fight inside the octagon for the remainder of the year?
I've got 4 fights on this new contract, and I'm going to beg the UFC to let me fight all 4 of them. You know, if I get the win next Saturday, I'm going to ask, you know, for July, September, December. Yeah, and I think that's possible, you know, because if I get this win, I'm on a 4-fight win streak. You know, I'm doing good, and as long as my body holds up, I don't get hurt, then, you know, I don't see why they wouldn't have me back.
Right, and that would keep you a very, very busy man. Not to look past your next opponent here and Chaz Skelly, but I'm just curious if there's anyone in the featherweight division that you feel like would be a logical matchup for you throughout the remainder of the year.
I'm hoping for the Korean Super Boy. You know, I called him out after my last fight, and, you know, that's a fight that I really want, because I believe it's one that the fans would really enjoy watching, because I know we're going to go out there and we're going to put on a hell of a show. And, I don't know if they're going to give me him next or who they're going to give me next, but I'll take whoever they got, and then I'll keep fighting and hopefully keep winning until they do finally give me that fight, because UFC already knows that's what I want, so I'm not going to ask them again. Just wait on them to reply, I guess.
Well, it's a real pleasure watching you perform. You got a big fan, and both myself and Brian here. Is there anyone that you'd like to thank before we let you go here today?
I want to thank all my coaches, everybody at Allen Dutcher MMA Club, my training partners, my friends, my family, and all the fans that I don't know, you know, that scream my name. I appreciate everything. You know, I wouldn't be anywhere without my support group. You know, it really helps me out a lot. Also, I want to thank a few of my sponsors. You know, they helped me out for this fight and kind of, you know, helped relieve the stress of worrying about, you know, different things. So I want to thank R. James Construction, Coastal Click LLC, Performance Auto Upholstery, Dreamers Construction, Razor Sharp Nutrition, The Bluff Bar, Brooms AC and Heating, Tap Out Construction, Underground Studios Tattoos and Piercing, Team Waste, The Print Shed, Integrity Plant Services, and Danny Cooper. Man, thank you all so much. I don't know where I'd be without you.
Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us today, Jason. It's been a pleasure. Let's have you back on at some point real soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Y'all have a good day, and I appreciate y'all having me on the show.
It's our pleasure. You have a good day, too.
Yes, sir.
The Sea Dog Brewing Company proudly presents to you every single week the Main Event Show. The Sea Dog Brewing Company is one of our favorite locations, located on Front Street in Bangor. It is your place for fine food, dining, friends, fun, music. I can go on and on forever. And again, go get the Blue Paw. It is my absolute favorite. Ryan and I might have one right after the show because, you know what, I'm thirsty for a nice blueberry ale from the Sea Dog. But you know what they have coming your way at the end of this month. May 22nd, the quintessential American sports writer, one of the legends in the game, Bob Ryan, formerly of the Boston Globe, will be coming to the Sea Dog Brewing Company in Bangor for an event where you can ask the legend questions about sports. You can ask him a Larry Legend question. Maybe you want to find out about how Larry Bird was to deal with. Maybe about the Red Sox back in the day. Get his thoughts on what's going on in the sports landscape as well. Bob Ryan will be at your disposal at the Sea Dog Brewing Company in Bangor. Tickets are on sale now. You can go pick them up online or go check out the Sea Dog in person and get your space for this wonderful event coming up on May 22nd with the quintessential American sports writer and a good friend of myself as well, Bob Ryan. So go check it out today and go visit the Sea Dog for all your food and dining needs as well, located at Front Street in Bangor. basically a little glimpse into my soul. Because as a youngster, this is one of the first albums I was able to purchase. I could never buy parental advisory music, but I liked metal and hard rock music. So Drowning Pool was not parental advisory, so I could buy this album. And this is one of the first I purchased, along with Linkin Park's Hybrid Theory and Rob Zombie's Dragula. So,
you know what I remember? I remember as a kid, I distinctly remember trying to purchase a Cypress Hill disc.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I went with my father to the music store, and he looked at it, and he's like, there's no way in hell you're going to buy this. He just looked at the cover and saw the parental advisory and all the stuff that was on it. He's like, nope, not going to support that. When you're 18, make your own decisions.
I couldn't buy the Papa Roach album with Last Resort on it. Like, my mom eventually said, okay, you can purchase it, but I'm not happy about it. And I'm like, well, no, if you're going to be pissed off about it, we're not going to do it. So I just stormed out. Never bought that album.
Ruined it for you.
She ruined it. But I was able to get around and get some awesome albums from time to time because of that. And I now appreciate music and people who were able to do it that way. So big up to Drowning Pool. I actually got to see them live one time. Their lead singer died a long time ago. But hey, I don't mind it. It's fun. But we have a special guest here for the outro. As always, our foremost MMA expert. He is the longtime, multiple reigning champion in this, I think, and also one of our most favorite guests, and I think the guy who's been on it more than anybody else. It's none other than Aaron Lacy's here.
I'm not sure what number this is. I'm gonna have to go back and
82?
Look. But this is at least your fifth or sixth time.
Six,
yeah,
I
for
think.
Sure. Yeah. So it's definitely a pleasure to have
it's
you in
awesome
studio.
Being here, guys.
Yeah,
and I love it. It's been too long, so I love being here with you guys talking MMA, man.
Yeah, it has been
can
too long.
Can do anything any better, so.
And we want to see you in the cage again. We know you had to deal with a little health issue last time out. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to see you last week. So, but we are looking forward to seeing what the future may bring. And you said maybe in a couple months we might be able to see you in a cage here, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping in August. You know, this June card came up. And with, you know, the injury I sustained during my last training camp, it was a little too close, I feel. I probably could have made the turnaround, but I think I would have been pushing it a little too much. And honestly, pushing my body is all I've been doing for the last year and a half or so. And I think it was finally just time to take a step back and appreciate it from the outside for a minute and let my body rest up and hit it head on, running at it full steam when I heal up.
Well, also, too, with giving your body a little bit of a time to rest and relax and recuperate from all the grinding of a training camp, I would imagine that you're probably going to come back and just feel stronger because you're going to allow your body to heal.
Oh, most definitely. I've already started kind of easing my way back into some things that, you know, my body will let me do and I've been approved to do, you know, through my physical therapist. And so I'm already just missing it. I don't know what to do with myself during the day when I can't go to the gym and hit the bag or do mitts or get in some, you know, rolls or whatever. So I'm sitting there like, man, what do? I'm bored. I gotta go find something to do.
Well, you did get to watch some MMA last weekend. I
sure
saw
did.
You there briefly, and your teammates went 2-0. But Chris Young,
awesome.
Man, what was he doing with all his free time? I mean, he didn't have like 8 people to be in the corner of this time, right?
I know. I think he sat out back and just twiddled his thumbs in the corner. He gets just as lost as I do when there's no fighting around. So, yeah, it was a good night for us. It was awesome. You know, Ryan and Josh looked fantastic. Yeah. They both got the wins, both got a finish, put, you know, big exclamation mark on their fights. It was great. It bittersweet, as always, you know, because I was supposed to be, you know, right there fighting with them,
right,
which is the only thing that would have made that night any better. But I'm happy for them. They looked awesome. They represented well, and they brought it home, and it's awesome. So it's always good to go watch and support my teammates.
Talk a little bit about Ryan Sanders and what an impressive victory. Brian and I were fortunate enough once again to do the broadcast, and we thought that, unfortunately for Ryan, at the end of that first round with Lemke's takedown, that he lost that first round because it was really close. It was back and forth. Ryan came out like a man possessed in the second round and finished it very, very quickly. How good is Ryan Sanders, and where do you expect to see him in the next year or two with his progression of his career?
Ryan is one hell of a fighter. He's the best guy in New England, in my opinion, around. You know, guys say they'll fight him. You know, they get sent a contract, and then, you know, the contract comes back, and there's no signature on it. Wonder why. So, you know, Yeah, that first round was definitely really close. I was a little worried. You know, I know Ryan's a very slow starter, and the fact that it was a five-round fight didn't have me too concerned about the fact that Lemke got that takedown. But I can see where you guys can definitely argue that Lemke won that round. In my opinion, that's kind of how I scored it as well, just solely on the fact that that takedown kind of put that stamp on that round in that last 30 seconds or so that he got it. But I think the advice in the corner was, all right, Ryan, you've had your fun. Let's go. Flip the switch. Get this done. Let's go home and get out of here. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and to me, obviously, if you follow John Lemke's career, he's a decorated boxer. He was very good as a Marine. That's all he did the last 2 years of his service there, I believe. And that's where he shines. He's got heavy hands. And it seemed like in order for Ryan to have his easiest road to victory, he'd want to get this fight to the ground, which is what he did in the second round. I was surprised that John actually shot and took him down at the end of the first round, because I felt like, again, John's best way to win this fight would be to stay standing. And so it was a really interesting stylistic matchup between these two. And in the end, I think what Ryan's corner wanted was for him to get the fight to the ground where he had his best chance of winning, and he did so.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis. Lemke's best strength would be to keep it on the feet. That being said, I think it was a extremely competitive first round. No one can
very
argue
so.
That. You know, he was landing big shots, but Ryan was landing kicks, controlling the distance a little bit better. Lemke was kind of stumbling forward, off balance, out of position, you know. So, you know, tick for tack, you know, everybody can score it up, you know, this way and that. You know, like I already said, I think Lemke won that first round. But, yeah, that is the best advice that, you know, you could give Ryan. And that's something I was hoping he would do in the first round. And if not score the takedown, at least get John thinking about it, get him breathing a little heavier, you know, work him over on the cage a little bit to soften some of those, you know, punches that he's going to be throwing, you know, work over his midsection so he's, you know, kind of hunched over and he can't put all the pop on his punches. But, you know, he implemented it in the first, you know, 10 seconds of that second round, so...
Well, you know, the really interesting thing about all you pro-legit alpha dog MMA fighters is that you guys all want to test yourself in the hardest way possible when it comes to, oh, well, my opponent, he shines in this area of MMA, so I'm going to go
beat him there.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that a lot of you, not saying that you in particular, I'm just saying as a lot of pro athletes.
Yeah. Did you see my Bangor fight?
Yeah.
Like, I've done it. So it's definitely something that will go through your head. You know, if everybody's touting this guy as the best guy on the feet, the best guy in the wrestling department, best guy on the ground, it's always definitive to go stomp him where everybody thinks he is best. Okay, it sends a message loud and clear. Okay, but at the same time, you got to have that fight IQ. You got to realize where your strengths are as well. You have to give your opponent his due where it's due, and take it and go from there. You have to say, okay, you know, he's pretty good on his feet. Let's give him that. You know, he's got the power. He's got the pop on his punches. He finds the angles, you know, works the different levels, changes up his tempo and his rhythm. Maybe he's one of those guys who can switch stances and stuff too, you know. So if you get a guy like that, but you can out-wrestle him and you can wear him down on the ground, do that. That's if it's your easiest path to victory, you should always take your easiest path to victory, because the easier you can make it look, the more dominant you look.
Also, we have to touch on Ray Wood coming back. That's going to be pretty exciting, huh?
I'm excited for that.
And I assume he's going to be training a little bit at Young's too in the lead up.
We'll see. He's still living down in Texas. Yeah. I don't know when he's flying up here. I would love to have that happen.
Yeah.
I've talked to Ray every so often, you know, we shoot each other messages on Facebook. I'd love to have him back up here for a month or so and just pick his brain, you know, where he's been traveling, you know, training MMA in all these different places. I'd love to see what he's picked up. And I always had fun training with Ray, and we were always really great training partners. So it would be awesome to have him back up, even if it's just for a month.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for the fight.
And finally, what about Pat Kelly, too, trying to become the oldest champion, man?
Yeah,
Pat Kelly is an animal, let me tell you that, all right? So let's not, when they say age is just a number, age is just a number, guys. This man is 53 years old, and I remember the first time I had to wrestle this guy, I was like, just pardon my language, damn, all right, that guy can wrestle. No, Pat is an absolute animal. He trains so hard, and he's got a great mind, and he's very humble, And I can't wait to see that fight and see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, too. And he's got a tough opponent, but that should be one of the
very
fights
tough
of the
opponent.
Night.
Yeah, and again, you know, Rafael Vallado is an unbelievable jiu-jitsu practitioner on the ground. But from what I saw of Pat Kelly, and again, I've never seen the guy fight, he looks jacked. How is he going to make that weight to get down there? Because he looks like he walked around at 185.
55, he's actually pretty... You know, I'm not going to go say his weight or anything because, you know, oh, that's all the, you know, the bad juju in MMA. You know, you never go say your weight. But he doesn't struggle to make the weight. He's made it before. He's very smart. He's been in wrestling almost, you know, his entire adult life now. So he's very disciplined and scientific and methodical about just about everything he does in his life. So it make him making weight, not worried about it.
And how about this, Ryan?
And he will be strong and physical. And very on the top of his game.
He has beaten two different Steve Bangs. He beat senior and
father-son
junior.
Father-son combo.
So he beat junior first.
Then the senior
had to try to take revenge.
He did, yes.
And it was a quicker fight in the second one, first round TKO. But that card is going to be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to that one. So
yeah, it's a lot of
shaping
fun.
Shaping up to be pretty awesome. Yeah, so
that's exactly right. Two cards back to back here for the NEF. We'll have plenty of guys from all over the state, all over the region here on the show and breaking all that down. But right now,
absolutely,
right
time.
Now we have a huge fight card
stacked.
To break down. UFC 211 is a monster card.
Monster.
Yeah, that's right. It's stacked, just like me.
By the way, Burger King, I'm coming for that stacked money.
King.
I heard that the other day. Come on. I need to get my money.
Yeah.
They're using my name, but not paying me the
That's
money.
Right.
So let's get that
need
on.
To get after it, man.
So we're picking six fights today. Six fights,
six
and we'll
fights.
See who comes out on top, and then the winner. Maybe we'll get, we still need to buy that title belt. Damn it, I let everyone down. Once I make a whole bunch of money here soon...
We're keeping score?
Yeah. No, we always
when
keep
did we
score.
Start?
Didn't we do it last time? I think we did.
We'll have to go back and look at the...
I know the first one we did, I did pretty awesome. And then the second one, I believe I bombed hardcore. So we'll see how this goes. That's the awesome thing about fights, though. You can look into them all you want, do all this research, you know, give it your best go, and it cannot turn out like that.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start with Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier in a 155-pound matchup. I've always enjoyed watching Poirier fight ever since he decided to make 55 his home. He's been on a streak. He's been looking really good. I just personally believe that he's running into a more well-rounded guy at 55 in Eddie Alvarez, and I think his wrestling ability and his pedigree of having high-caliber championship fights is going to aid him in a victory here.
Yeah, Eddie ran into a guy in Conor McGregor who just had his number that night. Beat him in the second round via TKO punches. Before that, he had won four straight, including beating RDA, which it seemed like impossible.
Right, exactly.
No one could beat. But in the first round,
too.
Yeah, he looked great. I remember watching that fight and saying, that's my boy. He beat RDA and made him look foolish. I think this is the start of the turn back for Eddie to get to that point and then eventually maybe reclaim some gold here depending on how that that division shakes out. He was offered, or I guess when his fight fell through the last time out, there was a rumor that, I'm trying to think if there's a fight that fell out or if Eddie could have stepped up and fought Nate Diaz, and he said he didn't want a part of that one, and Nate didn't want part of that one. That is a fight I'd be interested in, but that would be after he comes out with a victory this weekend.
The wrestling, I think, is going to be the key to this fight, like you guys kind of touched on. Eddie Alvarez is extremely explosive in that department, very well-rounded in his wrestling attack. He chain wrestles. He can, you know, get people down, open mat, on the cage. Beats them up in the clinch in the meantime, too. And Dustin is game, very, very game, but I think Eddie is just a little too physical for him. I think he's quite a bit thicker. I don't think he's as tall, but I think he's going to be that little Rottweiler, you know, in the dogfight like he always is. And I'm saying Eddie, probably by decision, but maybe a late TKO, but we'll see. I think it's going to be a decision in this fight.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to mark that down right here. All of us say Eddie. So if that works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So.
Let's move on to the next one. Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis in a 125-pound clash. Both of these guys only have two losses. Cejudo is 10-2, and Pettis is 15-2. Cejudo is the number 3 ranked flyweight in the world, and Pettis is number 11, according to Tapology.
This fight is so hard.
It really is.
It's so hard.
You got a coin?
I know. That's where I was at. I don't even have a decision written down right now because that's where I was at. It's the classic fight, striker versus grappler. Henry is obviously the Olympic level athlete coming into the sport of MMA. We saw, you know, him just kind of run through his early career, but you know, once he got into the UFC, that kind of slowed down, and he got into, you know, the decisions and all that stuff, had some weight cutting issues. So this is a big fight for Henry. You know, he's lost his last two. He lost to Mighty Mouse in a pretty decisive, you know, first round, you know, TKO. And then he lost a pretty close fight to Joseph Benavidez.
Yeah, that was a split decision.
This is the fight where Henry's got to come out, put a stamp on this round, show that he can hang around with these guys. And if he wants to stay relevant, he has to go out and beat Sergio. You know, Sergio, on the other side of that coin, this could be a big statement fight for him. I think his striking is way better than Henry's. He can switch, he can kick, he's got the flying knees and the spinning attacks. I think his offensive wrestling is definitely one thing that is lacking in this fight. I think his defensive wrestling mixed with elbows and knees and some dirty boxing in the clinch will make it so he can slow Henry down with his wrestling attack a little bit and start to get his striking game going. The biggest factor in this, I think, is going to be if Sergio decides to throw a lot of kicks, because I think Henry will start to try and time those and take him down off of those. If Sergio can keep this at a distance, which I think he's a little longer, he's a little taller. If he can keep this long and snappy, it's going to be really hard for Henry to come in on him because he's quick. He can find his angles. He can counter-strike as he's moving out. So I still can't even decide, you know, talking about this fight.
I'll tell you where I'm going to go. I'm actually going to go with Cejudo here. I do think that he's going to win the match
Olympic
as far
level
as wrestling.
Experience, yeah. Man, it's definitely a huge factor.
And I think Pettis, unfortunately, is going to spend the majority of this fight on his back trying to get back up. So I think we're going to see a 3-round unanimous decision win for Cejudo.
And if you remember, too, Benavidez, when he beat Cejudo via split decision, it was also due in large part that Cejudo had to lose a point because of repeated low blows. So that could have impacted the judges' scorecards. We don't know for sure. But Cejudo has his own damn shoe. He's like the Lonzo Ball of grappling and whatnot. Back when he was an Olympic gold medalist, he got his own shoe.
Lonzo Ball. Oh, my goodness.
You going to drop 500 on those shoes, by the way, Ryan?
Hell no.
Why would you
absolutely
do that,
not.
Man.
They do look kind of cool, but there's no way in hell. I wouldn't spend those on Jordans. There's no way I'm going to go for a Lonzo Ball shoe.
No, man. Like, you're not even going to wear them, like, really?
Of course, yeah. You'd have to put it, like, in glass case.
All right, I guess I got to make my pick now. So, you know, my initial reaction when I saw this booking was to go with Henry. Just you know, like you guys said, for that wrestling advantage. But my heart's pulling for Pettis. My mind says Henry. You know, it's another one of those. But I'm gonna go with Henry for this fight.
Clean sweep. My boy Cejudo, I was able to talk with him too. Love him to death. Unfortunately, he got murdered by DJ. But everyone gets murdered.
Yeah.
So
yeah, who hasn't been?
Yeah. The quick point, though. Do you think the winner of this gets a title shot against Demetrius next time around?
I think it depends on who wins the fight. I think if Sergio wins the fight, no. Just because he's outside of the top 10. Yeah. I think if Henry wins the fight, yes.
Okay, so Henry
gets
rematch.
I don't think
rematch.
Is justified, no. But I don't think either of them getting a title shot off of this fight is super justifiable. But we all know how the game goes.
Hey, Aaron, can you cut to 125? I mean, you might be a contender
you
at that point.
You want to chop my leg off? Like...
Man, the flyweights seemingly start to get a little deeper, and then boom, right back to square one again after another outstanding victory for Mighty Mouse. So, you know, I'd like to see some more competition, but I think you're just seeing the GOAT in action.
I think he's going to go for the record of most consecutive title defenses, and then I would love to see him move up. If
Absolutely.
He wants to really cement his place in the history of MMA and in the UFC Hall of Fame and as a pound-for-pound great, he needs to go up and test himself at 135. It's his only two losses.
Completely agree.
So he needs to go up, and there's guys at 135 that are absolute monsters that if he can start go handling those guys, all right,
Yeah, I mean, think about the 135-pound division. Obviously, you got the champ
and
Cody Garbrandt,
T.J. Dillashaw,
the former
Dominic
champ.
Cruz, I know, Rafael, Sun Sal. This division, like,
stacked.
You get anywhere from 35 to, you know, even 70 is coming along now in the UFC. Yep. But those divisions right there are just monstrous, very tough divisions.
My boy Aljamain Sterling's coming out.
Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah, so I'd like to see that too. I think that'd be really, really fun. And yeah, let me see Dom Cruz get the title belt back against DJ. Let's make it happen. Let's say it here. And also, DJ is starting to trash talk, which I like a little bit. Because he knows he needs it to make the money. He's going to start
calling
people out a little bit.
That is one thing that, you know, that's how Conor McGregor's changed the sport.
Exactly.
Now you got to talk, which some people love it, some people don't. Unfortunately, now it's necessary. I'm one of those people that's never really been a big fan of it, but you can talk in ways that get you attention and not be disrespectful and still be yourself, you know. So that's all you got to try and do.
Aaron, if you need someone, I will be your trash talker.
I need a trash talker, please.
Yeah, I will do it for you. just protect me if they come after me.
All right,
okay,
I got you
all
back.
Right, good.
All right, let's move on to a matchup that I can't wait to see. Frankie Edgar and Yair Rodriguez. I spoke to Hunter Hamestek of Flow Combat the other day, and he's predicting Yair to get this victory and to upset Frankie Edgar. Obviously, there's all this buzz around Rodriguez. He's this upstart, this phenom that's coming up in the ranks and maybe
next best thing.
That's right, you know. But for my money, Frankie Edgar only loses if it's for a title belt. You know, that's
Jose Aldo at 145.
That's painful.
Well, it's the truth. Frankie's
it
one
is
of
the
my
truth.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Unfortunately, I love Frankie Edgar.
Same.
He's probably top one or two of my favorite fighters ever. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting him when I was down at World Series of Fighting, you know, with you guys at the New Year's Eve event when I was cornering Bruce. So that was awesome. I spoke with him, you know, briefly real quick. Great guy. For me, this fight is pretty representative of where both of these guys are at in their career. Yair, are you going to be the next best thing? Are you going to be taking the featherweight division by storm now? Are you that guy? Frankie Edgar, can you stay relevant? Not that he is irrelevant by any means, but are you staying in title contention? There's relevant, and then there's title contention.
Right.
Top 10, relevant. Top 4 or 5, title contention. So, you know, for this, Frankie has a frenetic pace. He never stops. He can switch. He's got a clear wrestling advantage, you know. And Yair loves the kicks, and he's long, and he can keep it at that distance. I can see why people would pick Yair to be the upset in this fight, but I think Frankie's gas tank and his fight IQ are going to be a little bit too much for Yair to match. I think he's going to work him over in the clinch. I would love to see him implement a leg kick on the break from the clinch. He has great kicks. You know, when he was throwing them against Jose Aldo, he started taking over the rounds when he would throw them. You know, kicking against a kicker, not always a smart idea. Definitely something you have to be cautious about. But I would love to see him work Yair over in the clinch, get him tired, start, you know, dragging him into those deep waters where the champions are made, and really testing him and you know, really going down to see who wants it more. Like, who's going to dig down there and pull this out? And when you get in that kind of fight with Frankie Edgar wins.
Yeah.
And that's why he's my pick.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Frankie's one of my top 5 all-time favorite mixed martial artists. I love the guy. I can't see him losing to anybody but maybe the champion in that division. I think Frankie's still elite. And
yes,
I hope that he gets another shot at the belt, and I think he's going to move himself one step closer with a fairly dominating performance.
It has to
I'm
be extremely
say.
Decisive. If it's a snore fest and a decision or whatever, or something controversial or anything of that nature, I don't think it will. But if he goes and puts a stamp on this fight and takes Yair out decisively, why not? Let's see it again.
I wholeheartedly agree. No, wait, I don't. Yair's going to win this one. I
the
love
the black sheep.
The Revolutionary Offense. He's just so fun to watch. I think
Very fun.
He is going to be the future of MMA and how he just does this, or at least from some section of the world. You're going to see a lot of fighters emerge and have that kind of similar style. I know he hasn't really necessarily fought the best of the best. BJ Penn last time out was his marquee victory.
Let's hang on. I got to interrupt there. We're calling BJ Penn a marquee victory when BJ Penn has been at the bottom of the downhill slope for a long time.
I know.
I love BJ Penn. Super tough guy. But that was after a 2.5 year layoff, a second retirement. Like, let's take into consideration the BJ Penn he fought.
I understand that, but that's why I think people are sleeping on Yair just because he doesn't have that marquee win. And when BJ Penn is your marquee win, that's not necessarily
true.
That big time.
And I'm not saying it's not a huge win. It definitely is.
Well, no. I was just going to say, no. Like, I completely agree. I think BJ Penn's one of the all-time greatest. But if we're going to go based on Yair Rodriguez here, you think about BJ Penn.
Sure.
Yair Rodriguez beat BJ Penn in round two via strikes at UFC Fight Night 103. Frankie Edgar, on the other hand, beat BJ Penn in round three of the Ultimate Fighter 19 finale. That was back in 2014. So,
yeah, exactly. Really, that's my point. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. Is you have to look at where BJ Penn was at in two different points in his career. So a lot of things, you know, a lot of time where I think people go astray is when they compare similar opponents that people have had.
Right.
You know, when we get into the championship fights that we're going to talk about, Stipe is a prime example. Stipe and Junior. And, you know, I won't touch on that now because we're going to talk about it later. But, you know, I can see, you know, Brian, that Yair being the next big guy in this division. I really can, but I just think the fight IQ for him right now, I don't think the wrestling is there enough to upset Frankie to the point where he has to keep it on the feet.
Right.
I just don't.
I had to see an upset here, and I was looking at the card, and I say, if there's going to be an upset,
if there's going to be an upset, I'm picking
one.
That one.
Yeah. That's where I had to go with it, and I had to break
but
up this love
I'm still
fest.
Going with Frankie.
We were all agreement that Cejudo and Eddie Alvarez, so I had to break it up a little bit. So I want to go a little dissenting here. Plus, I like the prospects on this kid. Will he win?
Right.
Probably not, but I'm going to go out. I'm going to put my heart
going
on the line.
Okay.
He's going to fight his heart out, though. I guarantee it, because he knows what this opportunity is, and he knows what's standing in front of him right now.
And
so.
The answer is 35 years of age. I know age is a relative number.
23 for Yair, I believe. 24. Yeah, he's young guy.
But
Eddie burnt me in the past, too. I love him to death, too, much like both of you. But, man, I was so disappointed after that Aldo.
Yeah, me too.
Tell me about it.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's move on to the 170-pound matchup here on the main card between Damian Maia, a submission specialist, and Jorge Masvidal. Aaron, I got to get your take first. I want to know where you're leaning because for my money, this is one of those fights where, again, I can take out a coin and flip it because I think that these guys are both unbelievably skilled. And if this fight stays on the ground, Damian Maia can submit anybody in the world.
Anybody.
And Jorge Masvidal is a beast. So what do you think? How's this going to shake out?
Absolute animal. So I don't think this is the classic striker versus grappler fight because I think both of these guys are very much more well-rounded than to just call either one a striker or a grappler. But that being said, if you look at Damian Maia on paper, where does he get most of his wins? On the ground. So, you know, it's definitely going to be whether Jorge can keep this fight on the feet. Because if he can keep this on the feet and slow down those Maia takedowns, he's going to take over. And he's going to take over violently because that's what he does. You know, a lot of people underestimated his striking when he went into the fight with Donald Cerrone. And we all know how that turned out. And now he's saying people are underestimating his jiu-jitsu. They don't know how good it is going into the fight with Damian Maia. That being said, though, Damian Maia is world-class jiu-jitsu. And anybody that is world class in a particular aspect of MMA will have the advantage over the person that is the MMA fighter. I've experienced this. You know, I've had world class strikers walk into the gym, and there's a difference. Mm. I've had, you know, all American wrestlers walk into the gym. There's a difference. I've had black belts, you know, world champion level black belts. You walk into the gym. There's a difference. But this is MMA. So there's a difference there, too. This is a fight. You have elbows. You have knees. You got to worry about kicks, punches, all this stuff. So that's what is going to be the biggest factor in this. Can Jorge upset Maia to the fact enough so that he brawls and has to start using some maybe aggressive or overzealous, possibly risky strikes to close the distance where he can take that over? You know, that's a big issue. That could be a thing. But with Maia's last fight against Condit, who, in my opinion, is a much more technical striker than Masvidal. I don't see Masvidal keeping it on the feet. I see Maya winning this fight by submission, doing what he does to everybody else, taking them down, taking their back,
yep,
choking them out.
I wholeheartedly agree. What Maya does, I've discounted him before in the past, especially against Carlos Condit last time out, and I'm like, oh no, Carlos is going to get right back on track. There's no chance. And then watching that fight and just how Maya was able to just get the submission locked in and just dominate that, and then come out
victorious.
It was
even a crank. It wasn't even the choke. It was a very nasty, nasty neck crank.
He's been fighting in the UFC since 2007. Think about that.
10 years, a decade in the top. Yeah. Highest level at the world.
And it's a who's who of guys he's fought and beaten as well. I mean, he's beaten Chael Sonnen and Ryan's favorite of all time. So,
trash talk.
I don't know about
favorite, but yeah, he's definitely taken a page or two from Chael Sonnen's book.
Yeah, I'll give Jorge credit for what he did to Cowboy last time out. I just don't see how just the way he has gone through the last six fights and the way he's dominated.
He's been a steamroller in the welterweight division.
Just got to go with him here. So that's my pick.
How old is Damian Maya? Let's see.
Almost
he is 39.
40,
he's 39 years old.
Yep.
Because of that, and because of the fact that I think Jorge Masvidal is at this point right now where if he doesn't win this fight, he's going to go back down the ladder a little bit and have to bust his butt to get up to that title shot. I'm going with the upset. I think Masvidal is going to catch him early, stun him, and finish him via strikes. I think you're going to see something that, and again, don't get me wrong, I have the utmost respect for Damian Maya's ground game. If it goes to the ground, Masvidal is in big trouble. I just have a feeling. I have a gut feeling that tells me that Masvidal is going to do something similar that he did to Cerrone. He's going to catch him coming in, hurt him, and finish him via strike. So I'm picking Masvidal.
So you think it's going to end?
I do. I think he's going to finish him.
First round, second round? Because if it goes past the mid-second, you got
to
think.
I think Maya's durable enough to make it out of that first round unless he's caught with a super huge shot. Jorge hits hard, but Damian Maya's fought the who's who at 170 and 185 pounds. Let's take that into consideration.
Yeah,
fought Anderson Silva for the middleweight title. So he's taking blows from the who's who, and Jorge's moved up from 55 as well, too.
Yep.
So
that can
play a factor.
So age is a factor in this one, but not the Frankie Edgar one, evidently, huh?
I just think that Frankie Edgar is one of those freak guys that is just a cardio machine, and I just don't think that he's as further along in his career as maybe Maya is. Now, granted, Maya is a specialist, like Aaron's been talking about, and that alone could keep him relevant. I just, for my money, Frankie Edgar is just one of those guys that every time out, except for if he's facing Benson Henderson or Jose Aldo, I gotta pick Frankie. And I just have a gut feeling about Masvidal. I just think it's just one of those things, and I'm going with my hunch.
Okay. I'm going with fight IQ. That's why I'm saying there's a difference in this fight than there is in the Frankie Edgar fight. Frankie can wrestle, he can strike, and he can grapple.
Mm.
Not saying that Maya can't.
Right.
But if you had to tack up a rating for who's a more well-rounded MMA fighter, we're going to go with Frankie Edgar on that one. I just think it's been demonstrated. He's shown it. He's shown that he is very versatile and well-rounded,
mm-hmm.
whereas Maya, you pretty much know what he's going to do.
Right.
But that's why specialists are so dangerous. You know what he's going to do. You might even know how he's going to do it.
He still does
and you still don't stop it. So,
Exactly. I like him. Huh? It's good. It's good. It's
good
to have that debate.
We
got to
have the debate. That's good. But
we can't always be in agreement, too. So thank you, Ryan, for getting
good.
That one.
All right, let's move on to the co-main event.
Speaking of agreement, by the way, in this fight.
Yeah, I mean, how difficult is it to pick against Joanna?
Impossible, man.
This girl is phenomenal. So I'm assuming we're all in agreement here, Joanna.
Joanna.
How about this? Will it end in five rounds or earlier? Will it go the full distance or will it end earlier?
The biggest factor is going to be how technical Joanna can be in the first two rounds, I would say. Because I think I'm bad with the Brazilian names and everything. I think if she can really start to break her down in those first two rounds when her power is at its best and she is at her most crisp, then we will see a finish. If Andrade can lure her into that brawl, which I don't think is a super high probability, but it can happen. If she can lure, you know, Joanna into that brawl, that can be a huge factor. Mm-hmm. Andrade is a big power puncher, loopy punches, you know, grinding style. Joanne is crisp, though. You know, you always box a brawler and you brawl a boxer is, you know, a saying that is kind of goes around the sport. You know, if you can out technique somebody, that's what you want to do, because that will win the fight for you, because you can see where they're going to leave their holes. You attack that hole, you blow it up, and then they're going to try and close that hole. When they close that hole, you already know where the next one's going to be, and then you attack that hole, and so on and so forth, and you systematically break them down until there's nothing left. You whittle them away until their gas tank's gone, until their body quits, until their mind gives out, and you hit them, and then you hit them some more until the ref pulls you off. And I think that's what Joanna's going to do. She's got a massive chip on her shoulder.
Oh, big time.
She is so angry.
And, you know, you just use the word gas tank, and that's what I think of when I think of Joanna. How impressive she looks as the fights get deeper and deeper. Blows
my mind.
She
does not slow down.
She's unbelievably talented.
And it becomes even more apparent because her opponents do.
Yep.
And so the difference in their conditioning and their mental fortitude becomes apparent. And, you know, for people, that's what I tell people. You know, getting tired is about 10% physical and 90% mental. You know, people are capable of lifting cars off their babies or running at twice their normal speed to get away from an attacker. Or, you know, all these things that your body is capable of, and it's capable of it because of your mind. Mm. So I always tell people, if you can dig deep and push through, you can win fights just with that alone. If you tell yourself you're not tired, guess what? You're not tired, and you keep fighting.
Yeah, and again, that's clearly that just
it's
exemplifies
what
Joanna does. You know, each fight out, her last two fights against Kovalevich and Claudia Gadela were unbelievably apparent. Her gas tank, she just looked unbelievable. As
Claudia
she poured it
was
on.
Taking it to her in the first round and a half or so. Huge wrestling, you know, using her power a little bit to kind of bully her around. And then she got tired.
Yeah. So five rounds, Ryan?
I think it's going to probably be another decision.
I'm going to say decision.
All right. I'm going to say the decision too. I don't want to be.
Just because I feel like Joanna does not necessarily have that extreme knockout power. That's not what gives her style strength. What gives her style strength is the fluidity and volume of her combos and how she can string, you know, a leg kick and a hook and a right hand together 14 different ways at 14 different speeds.
Yeah.
And she could throw that combo for the entire round and hit you with it every time. So that is what her strength is. So that's why I see it being a decision. She's not going to look for the takedown. We all know that. So let's not go kid ourselves and say she might.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see a decision.
Plus, at that weight class, it's hard to knock people out.
Very.
Just by nature of the poundage and the weight behind it. So, it's understandable. So, all right. You ready for this one, Ryan? Cue us up for the main event.
I'm going last. I want to know what...
All right, at least intro it.
Yeah, okay. Obviously, the main event here, it's their first matchup. Oh, my God. If you
heavyweight classic.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Junior Dos Santos, former heavyweight champ, one of my favorite all-time fighters. I love this guy, and he's taking on the new breed, Stipe Miocic, who is now the current defending champ. Jeez, this is such a hard fight for me because of how I feel about both guys. I love these guys. Aaron, run us through. What are you thinking,
first,
man?
First again.
Okay, you know what? So, do you want to go second, Brian?
Yeah, let's hear. I want to hear some more. I want to hear some other input on this fight.
Okay. Right. Stipe Miocic came on so strong after losing to Junior Dos Santos, where other guys could have just said, well, I got to this pinnacle. I fought one of the best in the business. And maybe it started to wind down my career. You know what he did after that? He beat Mark Hunt. He beat Arlovski. He beat Verdum. And he beat... And that Verdum fight might be one of my favorite. With that S-eating grin on his face down in Brazil, he went into the most hostile of territories
and put him
for the champion. And then put him to sleep in the main event, in which Brazilians were winning in left and right, and he was just hated. I think they hated Verdum afterwards, and Stipe became their conquering leader. And then Alistair Overeem, he got knocked on his ass by the Ream, but he got out there and finished it. He is an absolute animal. I love GDA as JD. I can't even talk. I love Junior Dos Santos as well, but he has lost two of his last four fights. Ben Rothwell was his
and
last
he
one.
He lost to Overeem.
And he did lose to Overeem back in 2015,
that
a guy
surprised
that,
me.
That Stipe just handled quite effectively in the later parts of round number one. And for that fact, and for the fact that the city of Cleveland is just on an impressive win dating back to his championship in Brazil on May 14th, I'm going to say he continues going strong and will ultimately come out on top. Just because Stipe is a man on a mission, he's what the American heavyweight scene has needed for a little while now, and I just don't see him being stopped against Dos Santos. I do feel his time's coming to an end here soon because normally you don't see Reigns very long.
Heavyweights especially. Yeah. You know, that's all right. Fair argument with Stipe on that one. So my issue, I guess, with that is when I watched Stipe and Dos Santos fight the first time, I saw some pretty glaring weaknesses in Stipe's game that Junior Dos Santos exploited exponentially. Okay, I gave Stipe the first two rounds, maybe in the first two and a half rounds, until Junior caught him with a pretty big left hook, dropped him, I believe, in the about halfway through the third round, and that's when Dos Santos took over. So he won 3-5 for me. Someone who can come back from winning the first or losing the first two rounds and win the championship rounds in a fight like that, that's impressive. That's very impressive. Now, going back to those weaknesses I saw in Stipe's game, I saw them a lot still when he fought Overeem. He's coming straight forward. He has his right hand down. He eats a lot of left hooks. He's been dropped with a lot of left hands, and he plods forward. He's wide open for a leg kick, you know. But Junior only boxes, let's be real here. He doesn't kick, he doesn't wrestle, he's a heavyweight boxer because he knows he can knock just about everybody out at heavyweight. So props to him for that. That being said, I do believe he's still a black belt in jiu-jitsu on the ground, so he's not, you know, unversed in the ways on the ground, but it's not what he's going to be looking for. So what I saw in this first fight that I think, you know, could play a role, a huge factor in this next fight is who can mix it up more and for to what end. In the beginning, Stipe was wrestling to set up his striking, which I thought was a great game plan. I would love to see him do it again, wrestle to set up the striking, wear, you know, JDS down, because that is something like when he fought Kane, that is pretty, you know, it's pretty apparent that if you really take it to Junior Dos Santos, his gas tank will go down. That being said, you know, I would have liked to have seen a leg kick from Stipe at the same time. If he wrestled to wrestle, I think that would have opened up his stand-up game even more. You know, JDS definitely took it to him in the last three rounds of that fight, as I was saying before. He started catching him with that left. And, you know, I just, every time I see JDS fight, his boxing and his stand-up gets more crisp and more precise, and it looks even more effortless, which means he's getting that much better. And I believe he has more power in his hands than Stipe does. Stipe does have one-punch knockout power, but in this heavyweight division with a chin like JDS, you got to hit him in the exact right spot for Stipe. JDS can clobber you upside of the head with his ham fist and you'll go to sleep. He's got that kind of power. And I see JDS winning this fight again. It was very hard for me to pick. I want to be with Stipe. I want to be with that new breed. But when I saw that Overeem fight, which is his most recent fight, to still see some of those weaknesses, because I believe there's about five fights between the JDS fight and the Overeem fight or so, I believe. And to still see some of those weaknesses there and still see some of those holes not being closed, at where I see JDS still getting better, I think it's going to be a rundown of the first fight, but more so JDS. Yeah.
And 2.5 years ago, too, so you thought you could be able to cover some of those up at least.
Yeah. And for me, again, I'm an unapologetic JDS fan. I've got a couple of T-shirts to prove it. I spent some money on him. I love the guy. I love his striking. He's amazing. I think the really big difference in JDS's game, and Aaron's been talking about how his striking has got even better, which is hard to fathom. He's changed camps. He's come to America. He trains an American top team now.
He's down
there in Florida, and he's getting elite training that he really wasn't getting when he was in Brazil. And I think that with that being said, for me, JDS's kryptonite's always been Kane. I don't think you're going to see. I don't think you're going to see Stipe really trying.
Stipe doesn't have the gas tank right. that Kane has. Like it's apparent that Kane is in a class of his own when it comes to conditioning in the heavyweight division.
It's unbelievable. Cardio
now,
Kane.
He's got yeah, exactly. He's got to get those injuries healed up now, though, because he should kind of be on a pretty good reign mm-hmm. as heavyweight champion right now, honestly, because I see him beating both of these guys. He's beat JDS. I see him being able to handle Stipe. So I understand. That's a fair point that I don't think Stipe can implement the same kind of game plan. I think he does have enough cardio to implement a similar game plan. He just has to be more strategic about it.
Yeah, and again, does Stipe have the ability to end the night quick? Of course he does. But you've seen Junior Dos Santos time in and time out how durable he is. I mean, Kane beat the ever-loving crap out of him.
He turned his face into hamburger.
It was ridiculous.
Like, no one could recognize who he was.
You couldn't put the guy away.
Not.
You know, so I think just because of JDS's durability and the fact that he's changed camps.
Factor.
Yep, and he's now here at ATT. I think that we're going to see a similar fight to the first one. I don't think that Dos Santos is going to finish Stipe. I think it's going to go the duration. But again, in order to beat the champ, you need to beat them emphatically. I think it's going to be a split decision win for Dos Santos. And I do think most people are going to be on one side or the other here. I think it's going to be an epic battle. And I just think Dos Santos is going to get the nod.
One thing, Stipe cannot do what he did in the Overeem fight. He cannot take that punch and get knocked on his ass.
No,
like that.
Because he cannot. Because that punch will end the fight when JDS is the one throwing it.
Because Overeem did not follow and finish the fight like he could have. And I remember we were watching that fight and we were saying, this is over. Reem could finish him right here, but Stipe was able to corral himself. But I don't think that's going to be the same case if he gets clipped with one.
And the comparison with the Reem fight, again, is you have to look at where these guys were at in their respective careers. I know Overeem is still very much relevant, but he's not the Overeem of old. His stand-up has taken a turn to point fighting-esque, I would say. You know, he's moving around a lot more. He's not sitting into his shots as much. He's obviously still got the power, but, you know, I liked it when Overeem was ripping people and trying to, you know, he was putting some sauce on those shots and saying, no, I'm the heavyweight champ. You know, I'm this guy who had three belts at one time. Like, I'm this big bad dude, and I'm going to kick my shin right through your liver. And he hasn't been fighting like that lately. I don't know if it's a mental thing, but it's a difference. So
I will say that one good thing that makes me a little bit more confident about Stipe is it's not being fought in Cleveland this time around. It's going to be in Texas.
Fighting in your hometown is huge.
I think that's going to be a nice welcome relief because he had so much pressure. He just won the title. He needed to defend it. He was the marquee fight on there other than CM Punk getting just dismantled.
CM who?
But I feel like it's going to be good for him to be able to have another defense just somewhere outside where the city of Cleveland can still cheer him on from afar, but he can at least, even in a win, lose, or draw, he can just have that off his back. Thank goodness for him, at least in that regard.
Either way you shake it, this is going to be one hell of a fight. And all MMA fans are going to be just clamoring, waiting for the main event to begin. I can't wait. We're still a little ways away. But
we're still a week out, and I'm so ready for this fight.
Okay, so with that in mind, this is recorded. So this is going to be released the day of. So let's just talk. Do you think this fight card will still happen as currently constituted?
I really hope so, because with some of the big blockbuster cards we've had as of late fall through last minute, not saying this one has been marketed as this super huge blockbuster, but you have a lot of talent top to bottom on this card. You have everybody that is not on the prelims, so from like the Fox televised portion up, is all top 10 contenders in their respective weight classes. That is huge. That's awesome. That's something fight fans and fight fanatics want to watch because they know it's going to be a show. They know they're going to see some good stuff. So, like, I looked at this card and I was like, man, that could be fight of the night. 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 How do you pick fight of the night when all these awesome fights are on this card? I really hope it all stays together, and I really hope it all happens, because I want to see every one of these fights that we've been talking about.
And it gets better from here. I'm not sure it actually gets better, but you get Aldo Holloway coming up in the next pay-per-view.
That's going to be an awesome fight.
Maybe we get to see Anderson Silva, Yoel Romero.
And you know how I feel about Conor McGregor?
I think that is not even worth any time.
I don't
Anderson
think it is.
Silva and Yoel Romero, the risk-reward for Yoel Romero in that fight is pretty much like, if you lose, you just lost everything you've worked for. If you win, okay, cool.
Listen, I go for the fight, okay? I want to fight the greatest of all time, Anderson.
And Silva,
it's okay.
Silva wants to have that be for the interim title belt, too. It makes no damn sense.
Why? There's a current reigning active champion. Why do you have an interim champion?
I know.
Stop handing these belts out, guys. Look, WME, whatever your management name is, please hear me. You have rankings and numbers and systems for a reason.
Yep.
You have guys work their way up and earn these title shots. You're going to have much better fights than these guys who talk their way from number 15 into a title shot, okay, because all they're doing is talking their way into a title shot. Yep. If you want valid, spectacular, history-making fights, you have guys work their way up through the top 10 yep. until that they're knocking on that champion's door, and the only thing the champion can do is answer that door and send him packing or lose his belt. That's how fighting is supposed to work. That's how it should work. That's why everybody is a fan of it, because you can root for the underdog. You know, anybody can win a fight at any given moment. It's the greatness of it. So let's go back to that.
And all of this being said, all these fights that we're talking about, all these unbelievable fighters that we've been mentioning so far, we still haven't even talked about the biggest name in the sport right now, which is Conor McGregor. Yeah. And when he ultimately comes back, what kind of a circus is that going to be? Yeah. I can't
wait. It's always
wait.
A circus when Conor's around, if he even comes back. You know, that's definitely still a question. Let's be real here. If he fights Floyd, win or lose, the guy's set. He's kind of already set from what he's made now in the UFC. Let's be honest. He's buying Bentleys and renting out mansions here to train for months at a time.
He could be an actor.
He's importing Lambos and high-end luxury sports cars into his home country of Ireland. You know, he's got some money. He's kind of made it. So, you know, if he goes and he fights Floyd, what? You know, especially if he beats him, what's left? You know, he knocked out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. He became a reigning two-division UFC champion, the only person ever to simultaneously hold belts. And then you go out and beat Floyd. Like, you can call it. I mean, he could.
Why not? Why take the abuse? By the way, the rumored 213 card on Fight Week, which I think Devin Powell might be fighting as a part of. Cody Garbrandt,
could be a rumor.
TJ Dillashaw, Nunez Shevchenko, Lawler Cerrone, Verdum Overeem, and Pettis Miller.
Oh, yeah, we got some. Ooh. That's a pretty stacked card, too.
We will have to do it again. If we don't have you on before the 212 card, we will make sure that we talk about the fight week.
Yeah. Wow, that sounds pretty. That's the fight week card?
Fight week. Yep, they also have the Redemption Ultimate
that
Fighter Finale card, too.
That is a stacked card.
Yep, so that's all coming up. I think they have like three events in 3 days, so looking forward to that one. That's their Super Bowl week, basically.
Yeah, they kick off summer, right? They usually do that every year. They have them all stacked on top of each other, so.
Can't wait.
So much fun.
Well, we'll see how the pay-per-view goes tonight. And, Aaron, as always, it's a pleasure.
It's awesome being here, guys. Let's do it again soon.
It's always a pleasure having you, buddy.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you back in the cage here soon, and hopefully the next
Can't
camp
wait.
Goes
it's be
without
a big
injury.
Got to pay attention. No, I'm coming for some heads, so.
Yeah, and when that happens, we'll make sure to check in with you, and we'll preview
the
fight, too.
Oh, definitely. 100%. Yeah. And by that time, we'll be in our brand-new studio, the C-Dog Studio.
Let's hope.
C-Dog, Bird over there hooking you guys up. He's pretty awesome, so I can't wait to check that out when you guys get set up in there. So hopefully that happens really quick here.
Yeah, and once again, thank you to Bert Falero. He's one of your sponsors as well.
He's amazing, man. He's done so much for me in my career. I can't thank the man enough. You know, he's been one of my longest, biggest running sponsors, and the guy bends over backwards. Yeah. He hooked me up for a place for me to propose to my fiance, you know, because I wanted to propose on the anniversary of our first date, and it was in the middle of the winter, so, you know, all our, like, special places and all that fun stuff is outside, and I can't go out in public. Not sound to fool myself, but I can't go out in public and go eat at a restaurant on, like, a Friday night or anything and not run into somebody I know. Yeah. So I don't want to be dropping down on one knee, you know, trying to pop the biggest question of my life. So Bert was awesome, and he hooked me up with his room, and, you know, he set up, like, made it all romantic, and we had it all set off to ourselves. So, you know, the guy's amazing.
Absolutely. Echo those sentiments, except for when he eats those spicy damn wings. Jesus.
Oh, my
man.
God. That was insane.
I thought I was going to die when I just put my, like, pinky on some of the sauce and tried to eat that.
It was rugged. It was the Buffalo Wild Wings challenge, the one where you have to eat the blazing wings.
He's an ex-Marine. He doesn't care.
Oh, my God.
But, Aaron, thanks again. And
thanks, guys. It was great.
Wrapping up a great
being
show.
Here.
Yeah, another great show. It's really fun, as always. And again, we'll have you in again soon, bud.
Awesome. Let's do it, guys.
All right, and we will see you next week for another edition of The Main Event. See you next time.